we were talking about the next coaching search and everything, and nobody really knows anything. Nobody really knows what's going on. And, you know, initially when all this stuff started, I was thinking, like, if you remember, what happens to the assistant coaching staff, all those guys? Because they didn't fire those guys.
No.
Like, they only fired Tibbs. That's all we know. Like, there was no other announcement other than we're going for a championship. That's our ultimate goal, and that's a goal, obviously, I'm glad that they have. And that's why I would think, man, you got to have somebody with some experience as a head coach. Are you going to bring in a guy that was an assistant coach somewhere that has not been a head coach yet?
Yeah, and as you mentioned, we talked about that right away. And at this point, so Mike Brown is someone who has been a head coach. Taylor Jenkins is a guy who's been a head coach. And James Borrego is a guy who's been a head coach. The only one that they have interviewed, and I guess Johnny Bryant's not an option, the only guy that they have interviewed that has not had that experience is Mike Inouye off the Timberwolves staff.
Who may have a relationship that's good with Carl Anthony Towns, and I guess you said possibly Jalen Brunson.
Well, he was there when Jalen Brunson was there.
Okay.
Yeah, he was there for Jalen Brunson's last year.
So maybe I mean, Rick Brunson is...
No. Hold on. He was there when Towns was there. He was not there. He was not working in Dallas when Brunson was there. So no, I don't think so.
So I would think that Leon Rose has, you know, obviously has relationships with all the agents of the players, and actually his son is an agent for the player. Jones. I don't know. Is it Carl Anthony Towns' agent? I'm not sure. But anyway, the point being is that he has a direct line to the players through the agents, whether it be his son or the other agents that are representing the other players. So unless those agents were complaining or gave Leon Rose some information about some dissatisfaction that the players had with the coach, I just don't see how Leon Rose is making this decision.
You're saying you don't think making the decision to fire Tibbs or making the decision to hire the next guy?
No, making the decision to fire
Tibbs. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean... I initially thought that James Dolan would have left himself out of it. That was my original take. But the way that all of this has unfolded since, it's hard to say that it was a Leon Rose decision.
It's a really weird thing that's going on. At least on the Ranger side of things, I can kind of see what they're trying to do. And it makes, you know, whether they end up signing the right guys or trading the other guy, you know, what other guys they trade or assets they trade, you know, that's yet to be seen. At least I know what they're doing with the coaching staff. I know what they're doing, you know, with trying to retool the team and trying to make the team tougher. I can see that. You know, their draft is coming up on Saturday. They gave up their first-round pick, but their assets are players that they have under these shorter-term contracts, and they're younger players that maybe other teams would be interested in. Maybe they get back into the draft.
Yeah. I mean, and as you mentioned, you know, if James Hagans doesn't get taken by the Islanders, which is unlikely, you know, maybe he ends up on the Rangers. That'd be one hell of a story growing up an Islander fan. Who knows? There'd be some intrigue there for sure in the NHL draft. But yeah, I mean, it was clear. But this is why it also feels more like Dolan, is because with the Rangers situation, like, agree or disagree, there's been a clear, concise deal.
We're getting the coach. Here's the coach. Here's right. Who the coach is going to be. We're going to trade Chris Kreider. We may trade Keandre Miller if we can get enough assets back for him. We may try to get back up into the first round. Like, I can see that's all unfolding in front of me.
Yeah.
And I could have said the same thing about the Islanders that I'm saying about the Knicks now, because they waited to hire a general manager. And the general manager, obviously, must have a relationship with the head coach, and they kept the head coach. So I see where the Islanders are trying to move now, and plus they have the first overall pick, and they'll have their draft party at UBS on Saturday, and, you know, they'll probably most likely take this kid Schaefer and move on from there. And then it comes down to, are they trading any assets, or are they keeping all of the assets that they have that are tradable right now? And that's you know, at least you could see that as a fan. You may not like what they do, or you may love what they do, but at least you can see what they're trying to do. Right here with the Knicks, I'm assuming the seven guys that played most of the time last year are staying. So now you're talking about the bottom half of the roster that they're going to fiddle with. And they're going to have to bring a coach in here that's going to be able to lead this team to, I think, an opportunity of a lifetime to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, given what's going on in the Eastern Conference.
Well, yeah, I mean, the NBA Finals, too, for that matter. So, yeah, it's a weird one, and if they don't have a coach going into free agency, that's going to look really bad. Like, it's one thing to not have a coach when you're picking 20th in the second round. It's another thing to go into free agency and not have a coach.
If I had to ask you right now, after last night's draft, who is the most improved team in the Eastern Conference?
I mean, most improved
who's the
team
that, you know, I mean, is, you know, Cleveland lost a player. Indiana lost a significant player. Boston has lost
Atlanta,
three significant
Atlanta,
players.
Atlanta maybe getting Porzingis if he's healthy. I mean,
This is the window right now for the Knicks.
Yeah.
And maybe the window was this year included, but this like these next two or three years, this has got to be the time. If they're going to win a championship, it's got to be now.
Well, and that's probably what drove Dolan, if we believe Dolan to be the one who got rid of Tibbs, that's probably what drove him to it. It's like, we can't, he'd be doing the same stuff, hearing the same things, same issues, lost to the same team twice. The window is open. We can't do the same thing again and expect the same result. And not expect the same result, rather. So we got to do something different. Maybe that's where it came from.
Just for all right. Well.
I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm playing devil's advocate. Yeah, that's where it came from, where it's like, hey, this is a huge opportunity for us. And if we come back with the same team and expect different results, that's stupid.
And you're going to have a coach coming in here and absorbing this coaching staff, or is that coach going to be able to bring in his own coaching staff?
Well, I mean, I think,
because how could you trust anybody on this coaching staff? Maybe you have friends on the coaching staff, maybe you know them, but how could you trust them to do what you want to do as the head coach? I'm like, this thing, it feels like whoever the head coach is going to be is going to be neutered.
Oh, of course, already. I mean, there's no two ways about it, especially if the free agent, if free agency happens and there's no coach, because then, like, there's no collaboration, because basically then the GM is telling you what type of game he wants the team to play, what type of identity he wants the team to have without the coach having any input on it. Because he's saying, these are the players that we have, and you got to figure that out with this. So go for it. But it's really the roster construction that dictates the way that a team plays.
Man, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in some of these internal meetings with these candidates. It'd be amazing just to listen to some of the questions and, you know, and I'm sure it has a lot to do with playing time and, you know, rotational way of, you know, getting more players on the court, more playing time for different players. But again, I think you also have to have a coach that has some relationship with NBA players that they're going to want to add to this roster. Don't you think? I mean, this guy fits my system. That guy fits my system. I can make my system work with these guys. I don't know. It's really, I mean, it's maddening, actually.
It's one of these things that I said before. I mean, because it's going on with the Knicks and it's the NBA, which is a little quirky to begin with. If you were to take this same situation and put it in the NFL world, all we would talk about is how the team was so stupid. Like, that they would fire their head coach and start asking around the league for the best head coaches that are under contract is insane. And then to go into a draft without a head coach and potentially free agency without a head coach. If that were an NFL team, we would be screaming to the high heavens. It's the dumbest thing we've ever seen in our lives.
Yeah, well, to me, like the NFL, well, I would also say hockey. I think all three of those sports have systems that guys coach and that are good at coaching certain types of systems. And you hope that coach and that system is going to fit the roster that you have. Baseball doesn't, you know, managing is completely different
Yeah.
than the coaches of those three sports.